It's time for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at this time, we are giving you direct access to top experts in various fields related to the pandemic. So today, new research out of Stanford gives us an understanding of how our antibodies right after getting infected with COVID could tell us how severe our case might be. To answer your questions, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Taya Wong, Assistant Professor of Infectious Diseases and of Microbiology and Immunology at Stanford, and the lead author of this research. Doctor, thanks very much for joining us. This is fascinating, and it may provide us a window into exactly why some people get sicker than others. So you're looking at the antibodies, correct?
That's right. Yes, thanks for having me on. That's absolutely right. We're looking at antibodies in the blood.
Okay, so how do you get them, and what are you looking for?
So we asked the question in the study, you know, were there any markers, antibody markers or signatures of people who would be protected versus those who would go on to develop more severe symptoms over time in those who had an initially mild COVID infection? And so we get them for scientific studies by drawing small amounts of blood from people, and we study them in the lab. And what we were able to see is that, in fact, people who progressed to more severe symptoms did have a different type of antibody in their blood. The antibodies were characterized by a couple things. One is they did not have early neutralizing activity, which means the activity that can directly block infection. So they were lacking that activity, and they also had an interesting quality, which is a pro-inflammatory nature, so they can trigger a rapid inflammatory response, actually. So both of those things were the characteristics of antibodies that we found early on in people who developed more severe symptoms.
So what changes in our antibodies after we get infected?
Well, that's a great question. So there are a couple of things that can change. So one is an antibody shaped like a Y, if you will, and the arms of the Y bind to a target. So one of the things that can change is the composition of those arms of the Y. So what targets do they capture, or are they able to kind of glom onto? And then the other aspect that can change is the tail of the Y. It actually has different structural features. In particular, there's a sugar on the tail that is very important for the function of antibodies. Over time, the composition of those sugars can change.
How long does it take to examine these antibodies and make those determinations? Is it quick enough where you can draw the blood and then you can go back to the patient and say, hey, look, it looks like you're going to, you know, have a pretty severe case. This is what we suggest you do, you know, stay in the hospital. Or if, you know, looks like you might have a mild case, you know, go home, don't go out, but stock up on, you know, these kind of medications.
Right. So there are different types of tests that are used. Currently, testing the ability of the antibody to directly block the virus can happen fairly rapidly. I mean, a day or two turnaround. So that readout is available. The other readout, looking at the sugar on the tail of the antibody, is not yet, in a rapid test form. So this is something that's underway. It's hopefully going to be, you know, one of the exciting new developments in the next years that will enable us to do a more in-depth analysis of people's antibodies.
Is any of this going to be able to tell us why this current variant spread so fast, or helps us understand that better?
You know, that is a separate, really interesting and really important question. Why is this virus so infectious? That's a separate question. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that, but okay. It's something we're really interested in.
We're speaking with Dr. Taya Wong, Assistant Professor of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology and Immunology at Stanford. If you have a question, email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. Again, askus@kcbsradio.com. So how soon after you get infected will your antibodies change and then you can get these accurate results?
That is a great question as well. It's variable between people. So one of the main determinants of when, you know, you'll have a detectable antibody response is your prior exposure. your prior exposure to SARS-CoV-2. So have you been previously infected? Have you been previously vaccinated? In that case, if you have a new infection, your antibody response will be extremely rapid. If you have not, it will take longer. And so this is, you know, something that really is just, it's very individual. But in a majority of people, especially these days with people having had generally some exposure, a day to 3 days after a PCR test is positive, you could detect the antibodies and assess them.
There's a sound of, I don't want to say necessarily excitement, but wonder, maybe passion in your voice when you're talking about this. I'm kind of wondering what surprised you most about all of this since you began studying it.
Well, this is something, yes, we're fascinated by antibody biology, how different types of antibodies work. And, you know, my lab is focused on this question. And so what surprised us most, I think, well, there are sort of, two main findings from this particular study. One is that these early antibodies that were associated with progression to more severe symptoms have a very interesting activity in a model of how antibodies can affect the lungs. It's a mouse model, and we see this very rapid inflammatory response to the antibodies, which does mirror what we see in patients with severe COVID. So that's one thing that I just found pretty amazing and meaningful. You know, I think that is an important finding. The other thing is that the antibodies elicited by mRNA vaccines were totally different in their properties, the two properties that I described. So first, highly neutralizing, you know, really able to block the virus. This is why everyone needs to get vaccinated. And two, they had very different sugars on that stem of the Y of the antibody. So they were totally different, clearly a different type of regulation elicited by vaccination and infection.
Is this determination, can you use this in order to determine who should get treated by monoclonal antibodies or a course of pills? I mean, if you can read on a patient how bad their case is going to be, will that then be able to dictate what their treatment should be?
That is exactly the goal. So in order to do that, we do need to develop a more rapid test for the antibody sugars, but that is underway. And I mean, that's exactly what the goal is, to be able to, you know, triage or assess people who come into the emergency room, for example, and then they test positive for SARS-CoV-2. If we can tell based on a rapid antibody test that someone is likely to be at higher risk and would benefit from hospitalization, then, you know, having that information early in the course of disease could really change the outcome.
How long do you think it's going to take to get something out like that?
You know, we hope in the coming months that something will be developed, but it's scientific progress. It's hard to predict. You never know sort of what challenges you'll face, but you know, persistence can win in the end. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of interest here and people are focused on this now.
How often does somebody test positive? And I guess that they don't necessarily come into the hospital. They test positive. Maybe they come in for something completely, you know, different. And they end up testing positive, and then their symptoms then get worse, where they end up having to come back to the hospital. And I guess that's where you're looking to identify those people, you know, using this kind of test and technology, where you can, you know, foresee down the future your symptoms are going to get worse, so you should just stay here in the hospital as opposed to going home.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. So I think there's a lot of anxiety right now, you know, when people have a positive test at home or a positive PCR test, but they feel okay. And the anxiety around that is largely, you know, this question of, am I going to get worse? And, you know, that is scary. And so if we had a test that could guide the answer to that, no test is perfect, but if we had a test that could say, yeah, you know, 80% of the people who have a positive result on this test do benefit from some higher level of clinical care, then that would really, you know, resolve some of that anxiety for a lot of people.
When you started this and when you drew the blood from these patients shortly after they were infected with the virus, was there an age range? Did it matter if you were male or female, younger or older, or had pre-existing conditions?
These were adults. These were, you know, the study details I'd have to look at. I think it was 18 to 64. And then it was all comers, essentially, who had a positive PCR test within the last 3 days, 0 to 3 days, and who had, you know, clearly mild symptoms at that time.
Okay, so they had some kind of indication. I mean, they weren't well.
So there were a few people who had no clear symptoms, but the majority had some symptoms, you know, stuffy nose or a headache, or that caused them to come in to be tested in the first place. That's how they had ended up having the PCR test, which was positive.
What else about this was surprising to you in terms of how quickly or maybe how slowly the whole process took to discover what you did?
Well, this gets into the process of doing science. Things are never as fast as you know you would like, especially when there's something like a global pandemic happening and we want answers, right? But to make sure that you get the right answers, it just takes longer than it always takes longer than you want. So we did a lot of validation, a lot of, you know, we had two completely separate cohorts of mild COVID patients that we characterized independently. We had this result that the antibodies were a little different, and then we developed a whole animal model to study if they're, that, you know, because you can have a different type of antibody, but is it actually meaningful? So we developed a whole animal model to ask that question. Is there actually anything, any function associated with these changes that we can see in the lab? Turns out there was. So, you know, the whole thing took over a year of working very intensely with the team members in the lab.
I'm going to harvest some questions from our listeners. How are these antibodies? Are they different from the antibodies in the blood after getting a vaccine? Like, do they change?
So, okay. I mean, in general, what we found is that the antibodies elicited by vaccination were very different from the antibodies elicited by infection. They had different properties. Now, we don't know what all of those changes mean yet. I mean, so what I can say is using the readouts that we did, for example, looking at the inflammatory potential of the antibodies, the vaccine-elicited antibodies were just very highly neutralizing, meaning they can block the virus, and they did not have the inflammatory activity in the lung in this model that we developed.
Doctor, real quick, before we let you go, what would you say the accuracy of all this is at this point in time? I mean, the goal obviously is to be 100%. That's not necessarily going to happen. But what is it right now, and where would you like it to go?
Based on the cohorts that we studied, we could assess with just over 80% accuracy who was going to progress to more severe symptoms. And now what we need to do is study this in a larger cohort of people, like in a hospital, and actually see, you know, with a group of people that is not as focused in age and, you know, starting symptoms, right, and actually see what that number is. But we expect that it will be, quite good.
All right. Well, Doctor, appreciate your time. I mean, that's a lot of information to pack into this segment, so we do appreciate you explaining to us. That is Dr. Tyra Wong, Assistant Professor of Infectious Diseases and Microbiology and Immunology at Stanford, lead author of that new research. We'll get this up at kcbsradio.com, and we'll take your questions again Monday at 9:20. Ask us at kcbsradio.com.